Thank you for that, Joel. I think of that, and we share that with you. Just think of, if you would, depending on your experiences, being on the edge of a great cliff, looking out over everything. And when you look out and see it, and I've been there, you've been there, that's when you see. Everything disappears, and you just have God in His magnificence, His glory. And you wish you could sing, you wish you could express just that, but you can't. All you can do is bathe in it like in a great ocean. That's all. That's all you can do. Awesome. Now, so in the light of that awesomeness, back to earth. And in the light of that, we have a paper back there if you want to, with paper to fill out if you think of anything. We've been trying to work through this particular series since March or so on the virus and all of that, and all of the different settings and conditions. And we struggle through them. We know what we need to do, but we aren't free quite to do it so easily. So as we're trying to do that, and we want to proceed, but, and we wrestle through it. So if you have any suggestions or thoughts in all of this, we're going to have a meeting, and we'll try to put them together and add to what we've been working through to come up with the right things, the best we can do. We may not fix and may not fix like it used to be. It may never happen. Not in this life. So we want to be able to understand and have done the best we can before God. We aren't interested in the system. We live in the system. We're not part of the system. We're here to bear witness to God in the midst of all of this. We aren't part of it. We aren't caught up in it. We don't want to do that because you get rid of that so that we're free to move. That's our assignment, and that's what we've been bumbling through. So if you think of that and turn it in, whatever, yeah. And we'll be glad to try and appreciate your efforts and suggestions or whatever to try to do. Everything is Sunday school. Everything is conditioned by something else. So, and young people, we want to try to help young people, but you can help young people to a given point in the light of this system. And we don't want to violate it in the sense of being wrong. We aren't trying to punch it in the nose. We're just trying to be in it. And that's all. So we aren't fighting it. And if they fight us, then they fight God. That's who they fight. So God is going to allow what He does. You're heading into the tribulation very fast these days, it seems. So therefore, God has to help us. That's a long way around to say there's a paper back there. If you want to do something with it, fine. We'll pray. Our God and Father, we thank You for Thy word, Thy work, Thy grace. Thank You, thank You, thank You. So help us even now. In Christ's name, amen. If you turn in your Bible to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 1. Ecclesiastes in chapter 1. If I can. And we've been looking at God's wonderful example, to walk in His steps, to follow Him closely down the corridor of time, representing Him in time. And in the process, David is the grand example to give us all kinds of help in his journey. David walked in the valley of the shadow of death, and he feared no evil because God was with him as he went down. So we're trying to capitalize on that. We live in darkness. By that I mean God's good and God's absence. Hard to find it. Dark. Evil, evil, the absence of God and good. We're in it. And the God of this world, the God of this system, world system, Satan, the devil himself, is in charge. In charge where you go to work, in charge where you go to school, in charge when you go home, in your house. Apart from that, that doesn't mean you, it just means he's the one controlling the system. So we live in that, and we're to be witnesses in the midst of that for his honor and glory. Therefore, David, help us some more. We share together in some detail. We're walking in his step, God's steps. So we're moving down the corridor of time. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. We're moving steps, one step at a time. That's all you can take. You can't get where you're going except by one step at a time. And we're going down the corridor of time. And as we go down the corridor of time, it's not only the steps are God's, but the way is God's. God's way is higher than the heavens. And all we can do, and all you can do is look to God, who is the way, to get to be on the way. So we're looking to God. I can't see the other end of the wall. I can't see it. Literally. But God does. I can't see tomorrow. I can't see next week. God does. So we look to God. And we move down the corridor of time. And it's his way. So we don't have to see. I don't need to see through the wall. I don't need to see out there. I just need to make sure I'm resting in God. And that's how I'm going to get there. And God already knows what's there. And he's going to do everything that is needful in my little life and your life to equip you, to energize you, to exercise you, to educate you as you go down out the door, through the door. That's how we go. Now, having said that, we want to add another little word to these steps and the way and the walk. And in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, I would remind you, Solomon. Remember Solomon, David. David is the example for heart, a heart for God. David is an example for walking with God. You want to, all the different characters that people, believers, God has used. Abraham, well, David's one for walk and the heart for God. And we go down the corridor of time. Well, Solomon, and God tests all the kings, including Solomon, his son. Solomon did not have a heart for God like David did. Solomon didn't walk like David did. David is the example, all the way down Josiah. Josiah had a heart for God like David, his father. David, his father. Is it like David? David is the example. Is your belief like Abraham? Abraham believed God in what? He counted it for righteousness. Is your faith, are you believing like Abraham? God is counting it for righteousness. That's what you're doing. So now, having said that, here's Ecclesiastes, and Solomon is given wisdom, and he'll say it. We don't have time to see all these things. Wisdom, and he knows it. He knows he was given, it'll say it, wisdom and knowledge like no one else. He didn't have to go to read a book. It was just there. And you have to appreciate God, what he can do. And it's just there. You're nothing in your hand, nothing anywhere, just God. And he does it, light, and you see. Wow. So here's Solomon seeing. And he help us, Solomon. Everything is under the sun. What's it like for us traveling through time, in times, step by step, on all kinds of different ways, and broad as the way, with all kinds of roads and directions and signposts, people going down them, and religiously, politically, and otherwise, and they're doing all of those things. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 3. Verse 2. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit hath a man in all of this which he taketh unto the sun. So vanity of vanity. And I'm going to slide over. The sun rises and sets. That's very consistent. The sun rising and setting. Now, God, you've made the world in which we live very consistent. The sun rises and the sun sets and the clock ticks and the count. Those are all consistent, except when it comes to your life. And now that's a whole nother ball game. In the midst of consistency is the inconsistency. Hang on. So, verse 14. I have seen all the words, all the works. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun on planet Earth. And behold, all is vanity. When you think of the word vanity, think of a bubble. Bubble. You blow a bubble, and the bubble floats in the air. And you, if you try to grab the bubble and try to hold on to the bubble, can you do it? Disappears. Vanity. You got the word vanity. And vexation of spirit. Vexation of spirit. Well, next time you're outside sometime and the wind is just traveling along, and I want you to take, let's see what you can do with the wind. If you had a balloon, and you had a balloon, and you took the balloon, and it had a little air that make it go up with something, and you let it, and it hits the wind. Now I want you to chase it and catch the balloon as it goes up and travels higher and higher, and you got to chase, and the higher it goes, and you chase it and chase it and chase it. And pretty soon it gets way up there where the astronauts are spinning around and the balloon's up there, and they look out their window and say, what's that? Well, that's a balloon from Middletown, you see? Wow. You don't believe that, do you? Now, a balloon. Vexation. Chasing the wind. Chasing the wind. Vanity. Breaking the bubble. Trying to hold the bubble. Trying to chase the wind. I remember a long time ago somewhere. Chasing the devil's herd. Remember that song? Chasing the devil's herd in the sky, which you never can catch. In that musical, wow. You never can catch the herd. No. Vanity and vexation of spirit. That's the world. Now, slide over quickly. Chapter 3. And what do we know? Well, God, in the light of chapter 3, here are all these different ups and downs, offs and ons. Verse 2, a time to be born, a time to die, etc., 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 etc. All of the up and down, offs and ons. So we got 14 credits, and we got 14 debits. So when we're all done, we have a plus, and we have a minus. And we have a plus and a minus. And when the plus comes, but then you have a minus, you have an apple, and then you don't have an apple. Result, you don't have an apple. You have nothing. 14 debits, 14 credits. What are you doing, God? Time for this, time for that. And when you're all done, God, what are you doing? Life is like that. We got this, we're happy, and then it isn't happy. It's easy and it isn't easy. And we go down the corridor of time in the process of all of this. And God, as it intermingles and we have something and we don't have something, and we get glad. Well, think of all the people that are more so in these days that are billionaires, not millionaires, billion. I don't know what you do with a billion. Actually, when you go to McDonald's, I don't know. Unless you buy McDonald's, I guess. Wow. Billionaire. Wow. But when you're all done, you live and you've got gold faucets. Like, look over there in Rhode Island, gold faucets and gold rooms. How's that? You've been in there, you know, and you look at it, gold faucet. It doesn't make any difference whether the handle, it looks gold or it looks like clay. Turn the handle on, right? That's what you do. So when you're all done, Mr. Billionaire, having everything. No, you don't have everything. Whatever you got. It's the same. It's just updated in from gold to clay or to metal. That's all. And you got nothing. You have nothing. You bring nothing. Think of it. All of it said and done. You bring nothing in when you're born, and you're absolutely educated going out when you drop the body in the ground. The little baby has nothing. Nothing in it, nothing. And the body is dropped into the ground and nothing. Nothing in and nothing out. And here we are gathering, trying to hang in there. That's what we're doing. And time, steps, the way in the world, with God, without God, hang on. So therefore, what are you saying, God? You leave us. It isn't about being here, having a job and school and a family. And it isn't about that. All of that is involved, but it isn't about that. It's about you being born in order to have physical life, in order to have spiritual life. Now, so therefore, God, are you going to help us? We don't want to get caught up in this time. Isn't that, it's fun to think of it. I don't want to drift. Here's a little baby. Little baby's coming along, and you get to be a little bigger baby and a bigger baby, and then you become an adult baby, right? You just keep coming along, and you keep growing up, and you catch what you do. And you do that, and you try to say, well, this is... But you know what? You know what? The sooner the discovery, the better. Is to what? Well, when you get a little older, you'll find you aren't growing up so much anymore, and everything isn't going to go like you thought it would. Everything hasn't worked out like you thought it would, and isn't working out. Even though you're retired and you've got $1 zillion, it doesn't make any difference. You bring nothing in, and you take nothing out. So here's your hands full, but what's that going to do? When you're all done. That's real. That's where we are. Now, God, you don't want us to get caught up hugging this. Our life and our lot and our this is what, no, we don't have it. And everything around us as we travel tells us we don't have it. Your body, you don't have your health, you don't have you. Everything is changing, and our whole society is going where it's going in our economically, politically, and religiously down into the tribulation. Wow. So here we are. Now, God, what do we want? You want to help us. I do. I told you, you bring nothing in, take nothing out. Now, God, how are you going to help us? I'm going to help you understand. Everything you have on the plus side is going to be balanced on the negative side, and you're going to have nothing. When you think you have everything, you're going to keep finding out you have nothing. You bring nothing in, you take nothing out. A time to be born, a time to die. A time to plant, a time to pluck up. Time for everything. Therefore, chapter 3, picking up verse 10. Solomon, help us. Verse 9. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men, that's us guys, to be exercised, that's what we're being exercised in it and by it. Verse 11, he hath made everything beautiful or useful in his time, the little word time. He also hath let the world, set the world, eternity, world, in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. Verse 14, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it. What for? That men should fear before him. What are you trying to tell us, God? You bring nothing in, you take nothing out, And I'm trying to tell you, by your just general existence on planet Earth, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to have, a time to not have, a time to love, a time to hate, all of this, why? I don't want you to get locked in to what you have, because you can't have it. But we aren't listening, God. I told you, you bring nothing in and you take nothing out. And I leave you here to get to have the wonderful benefits of being saved, of knowing me. That's what it's for. So I don't want you. So therefore, what are you doing, God? Solomon, what did you find out? What profit is there to have $1 zillion and 25 houses and 30 cars? How's that? What profit is there? What have you got when it's all done? The same thing everyone else had. Nothing. Nothing. They were little babies, and their body goes in the ground or the dust, and it's all end up with nothing. I did this so that you don't get caught up in this life, in your work, in your home, in your school, in your children, and growing up and having everything. I don't want you to get caught up in that. Your marriage and your friends, I don't want you to get caught up in it. You'll lose. You'll lose out. But no, you won't. What if I just get that job? That job's wonderful, and if you get it, fine. If you don't, it's all right. It doesn't matter. It isn't really the issue. It doesn't mean you aren't ambitious and diligent in doing things. It just means you aren't counting on it. You aren't counting on it. Wow. You went to bed somewhere, and you got up this morning somehow. That's an event. One step at a time. You had no idea when you went to bed that you'd get out of bed. I said, no, you didn't. No, you didn't. Once you closed your eyes and went to sleep, you had no surety of getting out of that bed. I did. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. There's not one thing you could have done to stop. If God said stop, there's not one thing you could do. You're going to bring nothing in. You're going to take nothing out. I gave you opportunity to be in, to have, to take something out. Hang on. Now, having said that little bit, over, if you would please, over to the book of the Psalms, back to Psalms. Ecclesiastes is wonderful. I have to get out of that. It's a wonderful thing. Educational, so educational. So here, Psalm 31. And here's David. Now remember, David is the example. He's going to give you all kinds. We're looking at it, and we can't even finish it for a little bit, because God gives you so much help to understand your journey through time intelligently, so you make it. Wow. Psalm 31, here's David. And David, you're going to tell me, verse 3, "For thou art my rock," said David to God, "my fortress, therefore, for thy name's sake, and for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me." Don't do it for David. Do it for you, God. Honor yourself, God. Whatever your steps are, whatever your way is, whatever you want something, you're after something, go for it. Go for it. And verse 4, "Pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me, for thou art my strength. Into thy hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord, God of truth." So here's David. And David says, "I have committed." And you can see it there in verse 5. "I have committed." And it's causative. "I have caused my heart to be committed. I have caused my heart to be committed." And it is, I am committing my heart, present tense, as it were. I am committing my heart. I am going and leaving, depositing, resting in, trusting in. I'm depositing everything. I'm giving it to you, God. I'm looking for you to work it all out. It's an urgent, God, you've got to take care of my steps as I go down the corridor of time. You have to do it. I've committed to you. I walk, yea, though I walk in the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. Thou art with me. I'm going to make it. God, I'm counting on it. What are you counting on? I'm counting, David, I'm counting on God. Hang on, I'm counting on God. I'm committed to that way, to those steps, to that journey. Aha! Now, so where do we go now? Back over, if we can, to chapter 31 and verse 14. 31 and verse 14. And you will allow me to pick up in thought. Verse 14, David, say it again. But I trusted in the Lord. I trusted, that's what I did. I am bound. I'm trusting. And when we use the word trusting like we are, looking to God to do it, we're looking to God and trusting and leaning upon God, causing. So God, what are we doing? Well, we're going down the corridor of time, and I'm going to go, as I go down the steps, steps by steps, as I walk along, trusting you, God, I'm committed, God, whatever the steps are, wherever the steps go, I'm going down the steps, and I'm committed to your way, I'm going down, no matter what, I'm going down, and by the way, God, verse 14, but I'm trusting in thee, God, that's what I'm doing, present, I'm perfect, I trusted and I'm still trusting. I'm leaning upon you. I'm hanging upon you. I'm attaching myself to you. And an easy way to remember that, if you want to, just think if you lived in the days of Israel in Egypt, prisoners, Moses' day, when they were in Egypt, and at the end of the Goshen, the Mediterranean Sea, and here's their products. And one of the things that was noted for is melons, watermelons, and melons, because of the way they grow, would be get up to 30 pounds. The watermelons they had could be 30 pounds. Big watermelons, enough for two or three of you. Wow, here's a big watermelons. Wow. Now, what about watermelons? We have the same thing here. What about watermelons? Well, watermelons, in order to survive, as they travel, they spread out like this and travel. And as they travel, what do they try to do to make it? Because they're going to carry these big loads. Every time they can get it, they get down on the ground and they attach themselves. And they lock themselves in the ground. And then they go a little further and they lock themselves in the ground. And a whole lot of things. What are you doing as you get down the road? I'm locking my steps in. Watermelons. And that's how you're going to carry those big things and feed them. Wow, that's right. God, how are we going to go, David? I'm trusting you, God, like the watermelons. Each step I take, I'm locking it in. I'm not going backwards. I'm not going to the left. I'm not going to the right. I'm going forwards. And I lock in each step. That's what I do as I go forward. Wow, like the watermelons. Now, God, you're committed, said David. David's committed. And David's locked in, verse 14, like the watermelons, locking in. He's not going to back any. He's not going anywhere else, no matter what, no matter who. He's not going anywhere else. Now you're ready. Now you're ready for verse 15. David's steps and David's way and David's time. David is committed to God's time. David is committed to the steps, to the way, and the time. The calendar and the clock. I bring nothing in. I take nothing out. I'm locked in. I'm committed. I'm locking in like the watermelon. I'm locking it in. I don't go anywhere else, God. I'm going right down that corridor. Wow. That's what we get. Believers. That's believers. That's God. Is that what you want? Yeah, that's what I want. That's what I'm looking for. I don't want them just, well, it's Sunday morning or whatever, we go to church or whatever we do. People do. No, no. It's better be more than that. It better be more than that. Better be better than that. Wow. So people can sit here, sit anywhere for years and never grow and never know. Never know. I've been 50 years in the church, but I never got really saved. I never got really saved. 50 years. Now, so here we are looking, verse 15. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hands of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me, I will fear no evil. Why not? David, you keep telling us. Yeah, I'm telling you how it works. My times, my steps, my way, my times are in God's hand. Now, when you say times, what are you talking about? Well, you're talking about a little word that has to do that what is bounded, to be bounded by time, etc., etc. Time. The vicissitudes, as it were, the ups and downs, the unpredictable times. A given time, a given day, who knows what, except the weather, the sun, the sun shines and doesn't, and sets, that's right. But all the other stuff is going on. The whole thing is volatile, isn't it? And we're on planet Earth, and the whole thing is shaking. You don't know it. It's all quaking, earthquakes all over the place, tremors. If you had the seismograph or whatever you want to call it, a big thermometer, and you went down, and you go on doing it, you're looking for what? You're going to sense it. But we don't feel it because we don't even pay attention. It's normal. The storms, the lightning, everything, all moving. The whole thing's moving. We're moving at over 1,000 miles an hour, around and around, 66,000 or so. Miles, 66,000 around the sun, and 490 million in the universe, a whole galaxy, whatever. It's way out of, wow. Who knows? God knows. I don't know how you figure these things out. I really don't. Wow. Interesting, isn't it? Now, God, what do you want? My times are in thy hand. So, God, here we are looking. And all the variations, all the changes that take place in our, that's what times means, all the variations in life take place that occur in the course of just being alive. And the outworking of it, the outworking of time. My times, my 24-hour day, my 7 days a week, my school, my work, my home, all of these things, the ups and downs, the shifting, the changing, all over the place, changes, and in the process, we live like that. We're so used to it that we don't pay attention. But unless it's some dramatic thing, it's changing all the time, but we don't pay attention to it because it isn't dynamic enough or something. It isn't enough for us to pay attention to. So we just keep going down the corridor of time, and we just keep going down. God, here we are going down. And God, my times are in your hands. My times are. Oh, God, that's an awesome thing. My times are in your hands. So in order to catch that, it's just a little side thought. As we do this, it's an awesome thing. It's a wonderful thing, actually. What's it mean? My times are in your hands. What does that mean? God, translate that. Interpret that for me, God, by your word, so that I can understand the awesomeness of what it means to be saved, living 24-hour day, 7 days a week, in this present age in which we live, with all of its stuff going on. It's very volatile, to say the least, very changing, and we're looking to you, God. So now, having said that and keeping that in mind, God, So the ups and downs are there. All kinds of things that take place, the conditions, the situations, the circumstances, etc. They're all there. Now, so my doings. I want to line them up with God's doings. I want God's will to be outworked in wonderful things. Now, and my times are in thy hand. So in order to catch that a little bit for you, and don't get very far this way, we won't, but I'm going to try to illustrate it for you. You know it. You know it 1,000 times. I'm going to try to illustrate. Now, God, now you're created. Why did God create you? Why did God, you can, look at your hands if you want to touch yourself. Why did God create you? Why did God create you? You bring nothing in, and you surely take nothing out. Now, God, is that what you did? No, I didn't do it for that. Sin did that. Sin lost it all for you. But God, what did you do to make that even so that we're alive? We're born physically so that we can be born spiritually. God, what did you do? The Lamb of God was slain. Christ, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. God the Son determined in the Father and the Spirit of God's will to die on the cross. And he isn't a man. There is no humans, no angels, as you know. And so in the process, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, slain before the foundation of the world. So before anyone's created, God, what did you do? You went and did something. Now, you don't have a hand, no. But what did you do? You did something. You determined in your wonderful ability as God to die, and you already did. So back then, before you were ever created, what did God do? He went and died. Here's the hand. And I could have got a little nail. This is a bigger nail. Can you see that nail? Now, God, what did you do? You put it through your hand. What is the evidence, God? See my hands. What did you say after your resurrection to them? See my hands. What are you going to say when you step out of heaven as you enter and to judge the world at the end of the tribulation? See my hands. See my hands. What's the evidence, God? The gospel. Christ died according to the scriptures, was buried according to the scriptures, and rose again according to the scriptures. What did the scriptures say? I must die. The Lamb of God must be slain. Hang on. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, if you would, so when you and I are born, God, we're born. And we're born, and here you are, use your imagination, and here you are, and you die, and you have your flapper, copeless, no stability at all. You're born, and you live your times. You go up and go to school and get your job and even retire and you have everything. And here you are with the billions of dollars. But you aren't any different with $7 billion or 10 cents because you're still this. No matter if you have a $10,000 suit on, no offense to you, Steve. It doesn't make any difference. You can dress a pig up and give it everything, a big hat and everything. It's still what, dear friends? It's a pig. No matter how you cut the cookie, it's a pig. He never stops being a pig. And you never stop being a human like this. No matter how you want to cut it, you bring nothing in, you take nothing out. Now, God, what did you do? Christ died for us before the foundation of the world, so that we could be born. Sin left us like this. Now, God, what did you do? You did this. Now, and Adam and Eve had to believe God, and they did Genesis 3, 15, 20, and all that. And they believed God. And God saved them in a wonderful way. And God, they believed Christ would go and die on the cross. Now, why is Christ going to die on the cross? Before anything's created, he did this. Now, before he did that, he did that. So God, why did Jesus Christ born in Bethlehem of Judea? That he could go to the cross. Why does he need to go to the cross? Because that's why anything can get created. Because he has to go to the cross. So he's going to go to the cross and die. That's right. And Matthew 16 and 21 and all that, he tells them very, very directly, I must be buried, I must be suffered and persecuted and crucified and rise again. Don't you understand? That's why I came. That's why I'm the Savior. Genesis 3:15. I'm the Savior. I'm the solution. So now, here we come, and Christ goes to the cross. And why are you going to the cross? You don't need to go. No, for the sins of the world. Aha. So now, God, see this. Now, this, God, there's no need of you actually dying, because there's no sin here. No, but you're ready for this. I'm ready for it. I am. It's already planned. This is in the plan. Now, so here comes Adam and Eve and all of us along. And God, what do you do? Why can Adam and Eve be born? Why can Cain and Abel be born? Why can you be born? Because Christ died for you. Now then, when they drove the nails in, they didn't have that problem. So here we are, and here you are, if I can. And here's God, and here you are. And that's what God did for you. Why did he go to the cross? He went to the cross to die for you. He didn't need to die. You're the guy, we're the guys that are guilty and got sin. So he went and took us to the cross like this. And that's the gospel. What is Adam and Eve supposed to do? To believe. They don't make this happen. God made it happen before they were ever created. And he's going to die on the cross, and he did die on the cross to make it happen. So every human being, that includes us guys and them, can believe. Because your name, this is you. This is you and your neighbors and your friends and your families and your enemies. And Christ died for them. That's why you can go and tell them to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and get saved. Why? Because Christ went to the cross and took them to the cross and nailed them to the cross. And how do they nail them to the cross? In his body. So that the penalty is paid before they're ever created. You understand that? So that anyone can get saved. That's why they get saved. Because Christ did this already. Now, when you get saved, David, get saved, God, what do you do? What are you going to do? Well, you get saved, and God, you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for you, and he took you to the cross. Wages of sin is death. And Christ, the gift of God, is eternal life in Christ Jesus. And you believe the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross. You receive him as your Savior. And what are you going to do? Well, you recognize this is true out here, that the reason he hangs on the cross is because of you. There you are. And you, that's me out there. That's me. He paid the penalty for me. He's the Savior for my heart. Okay. So when I believe and receive him as my Savior, when I do that, God does something wonderful. We're like this, God and you. And God saves you and died for you. And he has a relationship to you because of his death. And it has nothing to do with your background, your culture, anything. It has to do with what? That he created you. You're his creation. And he died for you. So that's why it's done. Understand? It's finished. So you don't make this happen. You don't dream it. You don't think it. You don't do nothing. Is that all right? God did it. And that's where God's coming from, not us humans, but God. Here we are. So God, what did you do? So the world was to believe. Abraham believed God was counted to him for righteousness. David, Ham believed God. Now God, and here we are demonstrating that belief and that relationship in a unique way. So when you receive the Lord as your Savior, you receive the Lord as your Savior. And what are you going to do? What makes that happen? God, your hand in my hand. That's why you're saved. Isn't it? It isn't because of anything about you. That's why you're saved. You receive the one who is nail-pierced hands because you knew it was you. It was you who he died for. Wow. So here, that's why you're saved. And therefore, God, are we able to understand? Here's Psalm 31:15. My times are in thy hand. My times. My times are in whose hand? In his hand. Where is his hand? In my hand. Remember what he's going to say. Isaiah 64 in that. God said to Israel, do you understand? I want you to look and remember. My nail-pierced hands. I can't forget you. I can't forget Israel because they're in my hand. Nail-pierced hand. I can't forget them. I can't. I have to do what I'm going to do. And God's going to do it. And it tries to get Israel to wake up. God said, listen, I'm not going to forget you. Look at my hands. I can't forget you. That's why I went to the cross. My hand has got a nail hole in it because of you. See the nail holes, if you wonder. Now, having said that a little bit, over if you would, please. And I'm sorry that our time has gone. Let me do at least two places. My times are in thy hands, but the clock doesn't understand. Do you understand? I don't know how to do this quick for you. Like, I just do this and you won't know anything. So I got to sort of be a pest till you get this and drive it home. So it lives in your heart and mind like that. So you understand what you do and why you do and why you believe. So it isn't just, I'm going to believe. No, you better believe. Over to Ephesians 5. Appreciate your patience and hope you got a little bit, even though we didn't get times too much. We'll try it tonight. God help us if we get there. Ephesians and chapter 5. And you will please note, going directly if I can, in verse 30, in the light of the context, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, of his bones. That's rather personal, if you ask me. God said, you're my body. So when you're worried about the everything, disease and the dumb flu and everything else out there, you want to be a little better, I hope, someday, get there. In the process of what? God, you got to help us. Because God, whose body is this? It's his. I told you that 5 million times. It's his body if you're saved. Now, that doesn't mean you go way off the deep end and stuff. No, be presumptuous. But you're going to be relaxed. And it isn't. It isn't. No. You don't have to do that. Learn to relax in this. The whole thing is creating it. You keep hearing it. On the regular news, it's probably there. We know you don't want to listen to that. They never tell you anything. But in the process, fear, they keep pushing, fear. And then they add the next word, which we know, control. What's the purpose of creating fear? To control. What do you want to control for? So you can conform people to what you're after. You're the hierarchy, and you're going to go and get them to fit in to the next thing. And you say, well, I'll never do that. Hold it. We did A, we did B. What makes you think you won't do C? Where do you think you'll stop? At D? Come on. Once you start going, it just goes. That's all of history for you to learn from. It doesn't stop. And God, we're His body. His body. One other thing in closing. The Gospel of John, chapter 10. Gospel of John and chapter 10. And maybe you know them, I'm just going to read them, see if they don't fit at least a little bit. My times are in God's hand, said David. My steps and my way, my times. So the outworking of any given day or any given hour or any given minute, God, my times, you have them, and they're all worked in the middle of everything, because the word times has to do with the surroundings in and out of you, all around you. Now, John chapter 10, as you know, verse 27. My sheep hear my voice. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My hand. My times are in your hand, God. And God, you're going to take it a step further. Yeah, you know. God said, listen, I'm not going to leave you with that. I got to help you some more, he said. So therefore, verse 29, the Lord Jesus said, my Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. So you got the Lord Jesus' hand, and you got God's hand, God's wonderful hand. There it is. Verse 30, I and my Father are the same hand. Why can't I take you out? You're nailed. You're nailed to me. You and I are nailed. I died. That's why it's secure, safe, sure. If you're really saved. Not make-believe. I don't want to talk about that, because that never do. You don't want to do that. No, you want to be for real. That's what we're trying to get. My times are in your hands, God. And no man should pluck you out of my hand. Nope, they aren't going to do it. They just aren't going to do it. Our Father and God, we thank you for your grace and your kindness. Set apart all of these minutes and help us to grab and grip, to come to grips with the simplicity of the magnificence of your mercy in saving us. For your glory and for your honor. So God, we want to make sure, God, that we understand. And we aren't going to get anyone else excited about being saved, God, until you do the work in our heart. And God, and as you do the work in our little heart, and we awaken from the laxness and laziness, and we awaken to the wonderment of being saved, the wonderment of your presence, God. Then the children, then other people might have at least opportunity to see. Whether they believe is something else,
But God, at least from our end, we're going to enjoy the trip, the steps, the way, our times. So God, you got to help us in every way. Thank you, God. Deal with the heart of each one. In Christ's name, amen.